Well, Joy, it's been an amazing 2 weeks of celebration here at the church. I can't remember having two celebration Sundays before, but the celebration of baptisms, membership, testimonies, oh my goodness, all these testimonies, they were so different and yet so life-giving. So 19 people became part of our church the last 3 weeks with John joining today. Joy, what was the highlight for you over the last several weeks?
Obviously, getting to hear the people's stories is a highlight, and getting to be part of this congregation, to welcome them together into our family is a highlight. But if I have to pick one highlight, I feel like the deck is stacked in my case, because my son, Matt, was one of the people who became a member. So the chance to hear his faith story, which, by the way, was new to me, you know, teens don't always share these things with their parents, so it's cool when we get to hear it here, right, moms and dads? The chance to get to hear his faith story and the opportunity to baptize him was definitely a highlight. How about for you? What was, I mean, you know, your deck isn't stacked quite as much.
No. I was struck by the M&M story.
The M&M story.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing about an M&M story.
The M&M story.
What did I miss?
The manure to membership story.
Oh, yeah, okay, the manure story. I got it, yep.
The manure story. I have to tell you, I have been thinking about that nonstop pretty much since I heard that story. Now, I heard the story here, but I also heard it and read Vicki Vallone's testimony, and I just was struck with the idea that someone from our church stops at a farm, Elizabeth Martin, and had a conversation, would like to have some manure, and in the midst of the manure, talked about our church, and out of that manure experience, there was membership and baptism. I was just incredibly blessed by that story. And the reason I'm so impressed, not about the manure, I said that already 5 times now, is not that, but to see how, in spite of ourselves, and God's Spirit, and sometimes just the opportunity that we don't even know to be able to share a story or an invite. And they said yes, and they came. And I got to tell you, I was just struck by that. And so, as we kick off the new year, 2019-2020, here in September, we're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do over this next year? What does that look like? Well, last year, for those who weren't here, we spent 31 weeks on the story. 31 weeks through the Bible. And part of that, if you weren't here, we spent 31 weeks going through that, and we also had people were in FOB groups, which called Fellowship of Believer Groups, and people got together and they discussed the Bible, the story, and we had the involvement of not just the adults, but also the children and the youth and the junior youth were all on the same page. And so as we kick off this year, Joy and I have been spending a lot of time thinking about what that might look like. And so you might ask, well, how do you guys come up with this stuff? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Well, we spent a lot of time talking about it. We met with a focus group, some of you people out there of various ages in our midst, and we bounced ideas off them. We heard from their experiences from last year and years past. What worked well and what things that maybe they were lacking or missing. We also spent some time with our elder team talking about the vision for our new year. But then, Joy, you and I this summer read an article within a couple days of each other, and you came in and shared the story as I was about ready to share the story with you. It was an article in The Mennonite, and if you don't know what The Mennonite is, it's a print and online publication of the Mennonite Church. And John Roth wrote an article about Mennonites' reluctance to share the gospel. And he talked about the joyful confidence of Mennonites outside of North America as they openly share their faith. Now, Last week, I had the privilege of being in Ohio for Eastern Mennonite Mission board meetings out in Ohio, and heard some stories from Lancaster Mennonite Conference and also from Eastern Mennonite Missions, and I was struck by what I heard. There is people from Eastern Mennonite Missions and also from Lancaster Mennonite Conference, LMC, who are saying, we need to go to places like East Africa to find out what they're doing. Now, I was struck by that because if you rewind back, you realize that Eastern Mennonite Missions was one of the places or the people that sent missionaries to those places a long time ago. And now it's flipping while we're going over there to learn how to openly share our faith with others. Because some good things are happening in some certain parts of the world. And so as I think back to us as North American Mennonites, I think we're rarely hesitant to share about our personal convictions about political matters. Maybe not with inside these four walls all the time. Cell phone companies and environmental concerns. And John Ruth asks a great question. He says, why should we perceive it to be inappropriate or inherently coercive to talk openly about our faith? And he adds that we have been entrusted with a wonderful treasure, one meant to be shared. So Joy, as we talked about that and thought about some of those things, can you tell us what our focus is going to be or how we came about that even more?
Well, we reflect on John Roth's statement about this treasure, the treasure of the gospel. That is, of course, the greatest treasure. But as we were talking to people in the focus group, in the elder team, but also just people who come to us and are sharing things, what we were hearing is that many people find this congregation to be a treasure as well. So people identify the treasure of their relationship with God, of salvation through Christ, of walking with Jesus, but they also identify certain things about this faith community that they find to be a treasure. They like that we are living our faith together, that the Anabaptist values matter to many of the people in our midst. And people cited examples of things that often fly under the radar, like some of the men who served at the men's shelter in Harrisburg on overnight shifts this past spring. That's something that not a lot of people know, but it's happening here, and there are lots of examples like that. And people said, I value that about this congregation. Many people commented that they value the relationships that they have here. People that they were in care group with, people that they've been in Sunday school with, people that they've been in FOB groups with, and many other ways that relationships have formed. People like that we sit around tables often, regularly, and share food and fellowship with each other in that way. People like that we have traditional four-part singing and we have contemporary worship music. People like many things about this congregation. And one of the ones that we heard the most is that people like that their kids like it here. And folks commented that we don't have programs that are as large or as flashy as you might be able to find in other places in our area, and yet there's something about it that the kids feel deeply connected here, that they are interacting with adults of various generations and not always just in a teacher-student kind of model, but in other forms as well, and that the kids are serving in the church and that the kids know that they are an important part of this faith community. So the question became, if there are all these things that people like about being here, then what prevents us from inviting other people to like being here too? Which actually is just a small twist on the congregation, the question that John Roth was asking in that article that grabbed our attention. And by the way, you can look it up in the June Mennonite if you want to read the whole thing. So we, over the course of the last few months, we came up with a theme of encounter. And in this coming year, we're going to be looking at our opportunities to encounter God, each other, and neighbors. God first, because our spiritual life is not about any one congregation, it is about our relationship with God. So encountering God through prayer, through scripture, through deeper and deeper nudgings of the Holy Spirit, through all of these things coming together to allow us to know Jesus better and allow us to live more and more like Jesus. encountering each other, because while our spiritual life is about our relationship with God, that vertical, we also really need the horizontal of the connections to Christian community that help us to be able to live our faith, help us to be able to be reminded of the ways that God loves us and the way that God's love can flow through us. And then our neighbors, because we have neighbors who don't yet know Jesus. We have neighbors who had a faith connection at some point in the past, but don't have one now. We have neighbors who aren't having those sorts of opportunities to encounter the gospel and to encounter Christian community. So part of our focus will be the opportunity to encounter neighbors in new ways, and hopefully through those encounters, enable them to encounter God and to encounter Christian community as well. So we found, just like John Roth pointed out, most of us are pretty comfortable with encountering God and pretty delighted to encounter each other, but sometimes more hesitant about encountering neighbors. So we want to name that. We want to own that. We want to say, yep, we join you in that. And yet, Scripture tells us that all three are important. So all three are worthy of our value.
So as we look at some of Jesus' words, I am continually amazed at Jesus' last words before he went up to heaven. And those words in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So as I think about that in the context here at Slate Hill, I think about some of the action words that Jesus gave us. And the first one was go. The second one was make. The third one was baptize, and we did that the last couple weeks. And the other one is teach. And I invite you back next week as we dig into that passage, the Great Commission, and look at what that means for us here at Slate Hill, and how that can impact us. But the verse I want to talk a little bit more about and just put it out there is what Bennett looked at here earlier, 1 Peter 3:15. It says this, these words that I think we need to get into our heads and our minds and our hearts. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So basically what that is saying that we need to be prepared. If we're stopping in at a farm to ask for manure, we need to be prepared. If we're going to the grocery store, we need to be prepared. If we're talking to our neighbor, we need to be prepared for what is going to happen. But to talk about the reason for the hope that you have. So the question this morning is this: do you have hope in Jesus? And if you have hope in Jesus, then you should be sharing that with others. This week, I encountered that several times, where I had an opportunity to share a little bit about my hope. Because two people came to me this week, one in the office and one outside, who, as they told their story and their lament, they were seeking hope in their situation. So they were doing. They were seeking their hope. And so I could listen, and then I could also respond a little bit about some of my experiences and some of the hope that I found in some very difficult situations. And so we need to be prepared to give an answer to anyone and everyone who asks, the reason you are like you are, and that the hope that you have. You know, in our confession of faith, we are called to proclaim and to be a sign of the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. And Christ has commissioned the church to be witnesses, that we are to be witnesses out into the world. The church is to be a city on a hill. Well, we have that one right. A light to the nations, testifying to the power of the resurrection by way of life different than those in the society around us. The church is to give witness by proclaiming the reign of God in word and in deed. And the church is to see the lost, call for repentance, announce salvation from sin, proclaim the gospel of peace, set free the oppressed, pray for righteousness and justice, and serve as Jesus did, and urge all people to become part of the people of God. And so such a witness is our hope this year as we concentrate and zero down in on this encounter, that we would welcome people into this church community. That as we see new life among us, which we saw in the last couple weeks, and that new life among us through those testimonies and hearing their stories, help us to learn the new dimensions of God's mission. And that's exciting. God's mission. And that's what the co-mission, the Great Commission, is co-missioning with God. And to go and to make and to baptize and to teach. And I think one of the ways that Joy's going to talk in a minute about is we understand, and most people like or drawn to this, being in community. It's Anabaptist. It's who we are. In community, eating food, doing different things. But the other side of that is into the community. So in community and into the community.
So it is an exciting thing to be able to recognize that we hold this treasure. We hold the treasure of the gospel. We hold the treasure of this church community. We hold the treasure of the blessings that we receive by being part of this particular family of faith and by being part of the wider church of Christ. And it is now an opportunity for us to be able to recognize that when you hold a treasure, you're meant to share the treasure. So we're looking at encounter. How are we going to examine encounter in the coming year? For one thing, encounter is going to be a frequent theme in sermons, not every one for the next 38 weeks or whatever is in the church year, but a frequent theme in sermons. You're also going to be seeing some new things happening here, being in place or things that take place on Sunday mornings that help us to better welcome neighbors from outside and help us to better welcome them into this church community. So you'll be seeing that coming in the next weeks and months. But a big part of the way that we live out our faith in this church is in some kind of group setting. So we want to talk to you today about what that's going to look like for the coming year. And we call these encounter groups. As we were thinking about encounter groups, we were hearing from lots of people. We were hearing from people who had terrific experiences in their FOB groups. Many people found value in their weekly connection with others. They found value in studying scripture together. They found value in the support that they got from others. And as you heard in the testimonies, for some people, this was truly transformative. And it's interesting because being in different groups, some of you had okay experiences in your FOB group. Some of you had good experiences in your FOB group, and some people had amazing experiences in their FOB group. So I've been glad that we've gotten to hear from others who maybe had a different experience than you had. We also heard from people who said, hey, I really missed the meeting in homes like we used to do in care groups. Or I really missed the diversity of study options like we used to have in adult Sunday school classes. And so we said, how do we try to pull in those things that were valued about care groups, that were valued about Sunday school, that were valued about FOB groups? How do we try to combine the best elements of that and still have a model that is truly welcoming and inviting and inclusive to new people who are coming into our congregation? Because it's easy for those groups to function in a way that isn't. So we wanted to be really intentional from the outset about making a program structure, a schedule. I know we all hate those words in churches, but you have to start somewhere, right? That could create community that is life-giving and that allows for integrating new people. So encounter groups, we hope, will be a hybrid of sorts, kind of like a care group, kind of like a Sunday school group. We hope it might combine the best elements. There is no type of group that is perfect for everybody. We get that. But hopefully this will attach to many of the things that you really valued. You can see there are four group schedules for encounter groups. We call them A, B, C, and D because we are that creative, okay? A, B, C, and D. And each of these groups meets twice a month here when you're already here, Sundays at 11 or Wednesdays at 6:30, and then twice a month somewhere else, sometime else, whenever your group decides it works. So, for example, if you are in an A group, you'll be meeting the first and third Sundays here at 11 o'clock at church, and the second and fourth weeks, your group will meet somewhere else. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. In that hybrid schedule, you can see you got options for Sundays and options for Wednesdays. For when you are in the here groups, what will you be doing in the here groups? Well, a couple of things will come up. One is that the first couple weeks will provide you with some discussion topics to get you going. But then following that, groups will be encouraged to pick a topic that they want to study. We have one that we're going to recommend that many groups may want to study, but we also are going to provide a bunch of other resources too and say, you pick what you want, or if you know of a resource that's not laying here on this list of options, bring that one in too. So some sort of Bible study, faith study, studying application of living our faith. Maybe groups will want to do sermon discussion questions. We'll write up some of them each week. Maybe they'll want to do a different kind of book or DVD study. Maybe it'll be some other topic. That's what we envision happening during those here times. On those elsewhere meetings, most of the time the groups have a lot of flexibility about what to do with those elsewhere meetings. A lot of the times we hope that maybe some groups will want to engage in home meetings that are similar to what some of you may have experienced in care groups years ago. A time that maybe you share snacks, you fellowship, you catch up on each other's lives, you have an opportunity for sharing of joys and concerns, you have an opportunity to pray together. Many groups might want to include that in their plan. Maybe they'll want to meet in homes but have it be a game night or a movie night. Maybe they'll want to go on outings, like going bowling or going to see the high school baseball team play that one of the group members is playing in, right? So it could be any kind of thing. Meet at a local diner for dessert one evening. Something like that that your group would enjoy being together. Three times during the year, we're going to ask the groups to use one of those elsewhere meetings to do a service project that enables them to learn to know neighbors in a new way or to connect with neighbors in a new way. So even though we value, for example, our MCC service day, that's coming up in October, check it out, be there, it's a great time, that's not engaging with our neighbors in the same way. So we're looking for things that allow you to meet neighbors. So we will give you a list of brainstorms. Your group can choose from those or they can say, hey, I have a passion for this, let's check into that instead, and that'll be fine. So that comes up three times during the year. Children and youth will still have their typical programming. Sunday school, kids club, youth groups, children's church, all of those things continue. And guess what, folks? At Slate Hill, we really believe kids matter. I think you've figured that out by now. So we are asking that all groups create their schedules in ways that it does not conflict with the children and youth being available for their programming on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. To help with that, we hope, we do have some groups that are designated as being specific for families who have children and youth involved at Slate Hill, and some that are specific for adults who don't happen to be connected to children and youth here at Slate Hill. That's not to say you don't like kids, it's just that that may provide a little bit more flexibility in scheduling, and some groups are undesignated. So let me give you two examples on this with or without connections to children and youth. My family, we would not want to be in a group D, for example, that meets on Wednesday nights, the first and third, or the second and fourth Sundays here, Wednesdays here, and that might choose to meet on Wednesday nights in homes, the first and third Wednesday nights, because we want to be here so our kids can be in youth group. So we might not elect that, right? However, maybe you see Ben and Jen Frederick are going to be in a group, and you say, I really like Ben and Jen, I want to be in a group with them, but their group says for families who are connected to children and youth, and you're like, bummer, I don't have kids here, but I really want to be in their group. You can still be in their group. You just have to understand that their group will never schedule anything during children or youth time. Hopefully that's making sense. It's an attempt to help streamline the scheduling. So you can still be in any group you want, but if you want to check out the designations, it may make the scheduling work a little bit easier. Okay? You'll also see there's a couple groups that have certain other things written down about them. You know, they've already decided they're definitely doing a scripture study, or they really welcome people who can't be there every week, whatever. Check out the sheets whenever it comes time to sign up. So all groups are open groups, and so that means you sign up for a group, you try it. If it's a great fit for you, keep it. If it's not, switch to a different group. We're going to have new people coming into these groups anyway. It's not a problem for you to make the change. We want you to be somewhere that you can bless and that you can be blessed. After the service today, you'll see there's a table that has all the Sunday groups, and there's a table that has Wednesday groups. You'll see there's already at least one name on each of those sheets that may help you decide where you want to put your name. But you can think about whether you're Sunday or Wednesday and go ahead and sign up for those groups today, and that sign up will be available next week as well. So one last thing I want to say about encounter groups. We hope that you, and this is when they start, sorry. They'll be starting the week of September 8th and 11th, if it's Sunday or Wednesday, and then the week of September 15th or 18th. So they don't start this week or next week yet. One last thing about encounter groups, and that is that we hope you will be blessed by your experience in the encounter group, but it's not only just about you. I want to encourage you to think back to the faith stories that you heard, and you heard some people speak of how deeply important their FOB experience was to them. I especially remember Dean Vallone. He actually called out names of people in his FOB group that had made a big impact on him. And I found myself thinking, I don't know if those people that he named also had a fantastic experience. I mean, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But the point is that even if there were times that they weren't really sure this was their thing or weren't really sure it was feeding them, they still showed up. And because they showed up, someone who was newly encountering this church, someone who was encountering God in radically new ways, as you heard Dean describe, was impacted by them investing in him. So as we go into this, I want to remind you that we hope that you will be blessed through this, but we also hope that you will see it as an opportunity to commit in ways that allow you to bless others too. Because we know there will be rejoicing here and in heaven when those faith stories are shared as well.
Okay, that was a lot. You all got that?
Oh, and I forgot to tell you.
Oh, one more
thing. There's a sheet in your mailbox that has most of what I just said. So if you didn't get it all, it's all right.
And for those of you who are new, or just if you say Wednesday, what's Wednesday about? And so sometimes at churches we forget that they don't know the script. But we have a Wednesday Night Out program starting here September 11th where you come and you enjoy a meal together. And that's from 5:45 to 6:30. We serve. And then at 6:30 to 7:30 will be the groups meeting, and also for the children and youth. So it's a great family event. You don't have to cook on a Wednesday night. You can just come out and enjoy the food and then be part of the groups or fellowship or with the children. All right, let me wrap this up. There's a wrap up. So let me just imagine what would happen if it were said of North American Mennonites, maybe more specifically Slate Hill, that as we encounter, as with Peter on the days after Pentecost in Acts 4:20, says this, they cannot help speaking about what they have seen and heard. They cannot help speaking about what they have seen and heard. And that's our challenge for this year. So I invite you to sign up for the encounter groups today or next week and join us on the journey in community and into the community.